You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
You are listening to the Toilet of Hell radio show. I'm Joe Thrashenkill. With me today, I've got 365 Days of Horror. We're bringing you more of all the things you want to hear. More music, more interviews, more stuff. I don't know, man. What do you got?
Nothing really. I mean, we're just killing time until we get to the interview.
Yeah, pretty much. We actually have a really fucking entertaining interview this week. And I didn't really know much about Nathan before talking to him. I didn't know much about his previous work or anything. So why don't you give us a little bit of an intro?
So we spoke with Nathan Gray from Boy Sits Fire and I Am Heresy, and now about his new band, the Nathan Gray Collective. I've been a fan of Boy Sits Fire probably since high school time, and we kind of – you hear about that in the interview. And it's just – they're always a band that's stuck out to me, and – They've always had meaning in their lyrics, and the music can be aggressive and catchy at the same time. So I was really excited about doing this, and you'll hear in just a few minutes, like, it's a great interview. He has a lot to say, and we even talk about how the band appeared on the Daredevil soundtrack, which was just awesome.
That would be Daredevil with Ben Affleck, not with whoever the fucking guy is on Netflix.
Yeah, not the Daredevil show that everyone likes, the bad movie that no one likes.
If only they were also in the Elektra soundtrack.
Did that movie even get a soundtrack?
Probably not, man. But this was a lot of fun, and I wasn't, you know, as I mentioned, I wasn't super familiar with him before, but this is just a really great guy to talk to, and that he's funny. He has at least, if not a funny, a really interesting answer for every question you throw at him, and he is just delightfully profane. So we got to talk about Satanism, because he is a Satanist, and crowdfunding successfully, which was a good thing to hear. If you're not the guy from Winter Sun, you know, and self-publishing books as well, which is right up my alley. You know, pretty soon I'll start putting out my own books on, you know, making fun of bands and, I don't know, porno.
Dear Hustler, I never listened to Winter Sun before and I couldn't believe it.
I never thought this would happen to me, but when I found myself in a sauna in Finland.
We joke about Winter Sun, but they actually, like, absolutely dominated the crowdfunding game via Indiegogo. They've made almost $457,000 for their own studio.
What a fucking grift. I can't believe how successful they are. Because they're still working with a major label to put out their new record. They're still going to be selling, you know, they're getting money from the label to do this, to make this record, to sell the physical product. And with this crowdfunding, it seems like he's selling just the digital files. So there's a hole in the matrix somewhere, and that's what's causing all of this, because I can offer no other real explanation.
There's no emoticon for what I'm feeling about hearing this news. Like, I'm happy that a band that hasn't been around in a while has done so well and that their fans, like, still love and care about them. But on the other hand, I'm, like, angry and upset that this is, like, clearly just, hey, give me your money, and people are just willing to just puke out as much money as possible. Like, I want to send $5 to Orgy because I feel so bad for what happened with their fundraising compared to this one.
I don't get it. The devotion to this band to give them so much money. What do they have that other bands in similar places do not?
Maybe they're like the heavy metal version of Jigglypuff from Pokemon, and how people always hear them and they can fall asleep. Maybe they have some sort of similar effect when people hear Winter Sun. They're like instantly happy or elated to be hearing this, and they just need to get their fix.
Wintery sun, wintery sun. That's how the songs go, all of them.
I'd buy that album.
Well, you know, the profound success aside, what else is going on this week?
We survived another April Fool's Day, thankfully. I don't think I was really taken in by all that much annoying, goofy shit that websites tend to do on the day, saying they're releasing some sort of absurd product or news stories that are slightly outlandish but still believable. I think this might be because of the post-facts world we now live in.
I wasn't on the internet all day yesterday, so I missed the opportunity for people to tell me shitty lies as though that they were jokes. So bummer, man. But something did come out yesterday. You got a press release about this, and if I had an emoji for it, it would be the thinking face. Tell me more about Pugtopsy.
Yeah, this showed up in my inbox yesterday, and I got really excited because it's such a silly, fun idea, and it's not quite a prank. So it sort of falls in between real and a joke, because Artery Recordings, a legitimate label, has put out a song from a band called Pugtopsy, which is described as a new black metal group fronted by the one and only Pupcake, which is a black pug. And they actually put out a song. You can go onto YouTube right now. If you search Pugtopsy Snorts of Sorrow, you could listen to it. And you could also purchase a t-shirt with their symbol on it, which is an awesome pug face with the blanked out eyes on top of a pentagram with Pugtopsy Snorts of Sorrow on it. And all purchases, the profits from the shirt go to something called Neuterhead Ace of Spades, which is a nonprofit that raises funds to help responsible pet rescue groups with costing of spaying and neutering.
That's awesome. You know, I am I'm a pug owner. I'm into this whole thing, man. I bought the Pig Destroyer shirt, the Pug Destroyer shirt they put out a couple of years ago to benefit a pug rescue in, I believe, Florida. So I'm probably going to buy this shirt. The thing is, I wish the music was better, but, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It's not great. It's like kind of a fun idea that seems like they threw together really quickly. But the symbol's so good, and, you know, it's for a good cause, so they get a pass.
Yeah, man, and I don't know. There's something about, like, pugs. They do something to your brain. Like, there's a secret club of people that are completely, you know, their brains are all fucked up due to pug ownership. Like, if I take my dog out anywhere in public, I'll have, you know, several people stop me and be like, "We also have pugs, many of them."
Well, you're all about that pug life.
Yeah, man. I didn't choose the pug life. The pug life chose me. So speaking of pet owners, our favorite pet owner, Danzig, has some news for us all. I'd like to just...
He owns pets?
I've never seen his pets, but I have seen him carrying kitty litter.
Well, that doesn't guarantee that he has cats. Maybe he just needed to clean up an oil spill in his garage or help clean up his motherfucking bricks.
Possibly. I'd like to believe that, you know, he has a house full of kitties, though.
Maybe the cats own the house and he's their tenant.
By the way, like, you're really fucking this up. I was proud of my transition there to an entirely new subject using the previous subject matter. You've kind of thrown a monkey wrench in the whole works.
So Danzig has a monkey?
Possibly. Anyway, Danzig has announced a new, not a tour, I guess it would be more of a festival, although he previously did a tour using the same name, the Blackest of the Black Festival, a two-day celebration of all things metal taking place May 26th and 27th in Oak Canyon Park in Silverado, California. It's confusing. It is a very confusing fest. I saw people posting about this in the Toil to Hell Facebook group, and my immediate reaction was like, man, there's a whole lot of lolbots on that fest.
It is a weird lineup. For me, it's like a bunch of bands. Like, if I was there, I'd be like, okay, I'll watch this band. But there's nothing really on it that grabs me as something where it's like a destination festival. Like, people aren't going to be flying across the country to be seeing just about any of these bands. I mean, we have Danzig headlining. That's fine. We also have Ministry. Fine.
Boo.
You don't like Ministry?
Ministry sucks, man. I don't like industrial music, though.
Well, then that's fine. Suicidal Tendencies?
I like Suicidal Tendies.
I knew you were going to say it. The fest also has Atreyu.
Boo! Sorry. Boo! Sorry, God.
Corrosion of Conformity. a band from Japan called Vamps, and I highly recommend everyone goes on YouTube and look up their song that they did with Chris from Motionless in White. It is not good.
You made me look up this band, and the best, I don't know, comparison I can make is this band sounds like 30 Seconds to Mars. They're just wearing funnier costumes.
Yeah, it's like they're straight out of like 2005, 2006, but it's, you know, 11 years later and they're still doing it. What I appreciate about them being on the show is that the next band beneath them, and I assume lineup-wise it's still the same, Marduk is right underneath Vamps.
You burnt, Marduk.
And they're actually sandwiched in between Vamps on one side and Suicide Silence on the other.
That's awesome. After such a long career of making extreme black metal, I hope Marduk can find some solace knowing that they're following up for Vamps.
I hope they only get 20 minutes to play and then the sound guy cuts them off and they get kicked off stage.
Yeah, with like one of those big vaudeville canes.
On the show, we've also got Devil Driver.
No!
Venom Inc., which isn't like the main Venom, but the other members of Venom.
All right.
Belphegor.
Riot Act 366 would definitely be there.
Discharge.
Confusing.
Combo Christ.
Lol.
Butcher Babies.
Double Lol. Double D Lol.
Three Teeth.
I don't know what that is.
I think they're like an industrial band. They're actually getting on a bunch of like legitimate huge tours. Like I think they went on tour opening for Nine Inch Nails, and I'm pretty sure they're like direct supporting for Tool when they go toward the U.S. later this year.
Interesting.
You still wouldn't like them, I'm sure.
No, I'm sure I would hate them.
And then further down, we have Ghoul.
Ghoul is awesome, for the record. If you've never seen Ghoul live, I highly recommend doing that.
And Ritual, who maybe I've heard of, I don't really know. It's one of those band names where it's like, yeah, I think I know them, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, no idea. Never heard of it. So,
and on top of that, though, but before we move on, there's also attractions at this festival.
Tell me more.
Including Castle Danzig.
Is that like Castle, a fun house?
Danzig's involved, so, you know, fun is depends on your understanding of the word. But Castle Danzig is a fully interactive festival experience in torture, pain, and metal.
I mean, so basically it's the Butcher Babies concert.
Yeah, this is a whole bunch of wacky stuff. A suspension stage where, you know, people suspend themselves via hooks.
How's the eighth grade going?
No, thank you. I have zero desire to see that. There will also be a sacrifice altar. Castle Danzig runs on virgin blood. Well, they should have plenty of that if people are going to the show. Every hour, can't even pronounce this name, Drukija, will perform the task on our beautiful sacrifice altar. You will be provided with a white cloak as the ritual music comes in and the lights go down. Don't look at the knife above you. Sorry, fellas, ladies only. This is a bloody one. You may have to sacrifice your clothes as well.
What?
I don't know. There's also a bondage stage, an electro stage, which I don't think is electro music. I don't know. A padded cell that you could try to escape out of. A stocks photo op if you want to be a pilgrim in the 1600s. Freak show, Ouija boards, rides, a whole bunch of other crap.
Weekend at Hot Topic.
It really is for, you know, a $200 VIP package.
And there's camping available, so, you know, you could be stuck out there in the middle of nowhere with everyone in the bondage pants.
You don't even have to go home and shower. You could smell for multiple days.
Sounds awesome. So you're going to get your tickets, right?
Yeah, I'll get right on that as I check my invisible watch.
Anything else going on this week?
I'm getting all my stuff done earlier today, just so I could watch WrestleMania later tonight. Yes, I know it's fake. I don't care. It's still mostly entertaining for, you know, sort of.
You're like, you know, you're a wrestling person. We've got a number of them that follow the site. We've talked to a number of them on this show. And I still don't quite get it. I mean, I was a huge fan when I was a kid because, I don't know, that was the cool thing at the time, the Attitude Era WWF and such. What's going on in the world of wrestling right now?
So WrestleMania 33 is tonight, and I'm going to read a couple of names to you of people that are performing that I think will actually be familiar to you.
Okay.
So for the it's called the Universal Championship now, because what's bigger than the world? The universe.
Right. Makes
We're
sense.
Having the Universal Champion Goldberg. Yes, he's back.
Isn't he well in his 50s by now?
I think he's, you know, in his 50s, still in pretty good shape for being an old man. You know, I'm sure that's all natural. And he's going up against Brock Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar, he of UFC washout fame.
And of giant muscular, but still having a baby face fame as well.
Yeah, that guy, he's had lots of issues with his colon that kept him from fighting in the UFC. Isn't that right? Like,
I'm diverticulitis.
Sure, yeah, I'm sure that has nothing to do with hormones and steroids.
I think it's common from people who eat a lot of meat.
He does look like a person that would enjoy a bit of meat now and again.
I believe he's a hunter, so he probably goes out, shoots a deer, and then just eats it raw in the field.
Well, regardless, I gotta go with Goldberg, of course, one of the Hall of Fame Jewish athletes.
I do love that all these stadiums full of people from like the Deep South over the years have been chanting the name Goldberg. We also have The Undertaker. He's performing as well. He's wrestling in a match, and he's legitimately falling apart.
Yeah, I believe he lives in Austin, because a couple of my friends occasionally see him around at steakhouses and such, and they pretty much say the same thing. He is the nicest man in the world, and he's also seems very old.
Yeah, I think years of being a wrestler and still doing it at a high level just has to take his toll. I mean, he's been wrestling since the 80s.
Yeah.
He's in his 50s as well.
Ugh, brutal.
We also got Triple H is wrestling in a match. You remember him?
I do remember Triple H, the guy from Liturgy.
Hunter Hearst, Liturgy.
Oh, yeah, that's a guy.
Ric Flair's daughter, Charlotte, is wrestling.
Is she hot?
You know, make it work.
Okay.
I mean, she does kind of look like him a little bit.
Perfect. That's what I wanted to hear.
And we also have Chris Jericho is going to be in a match.
That is so weird. I remember distinctly the Y2J push that he got back in like fucking 1999. How is he holding up?
He's actually still in very good shape and still puts on really great matches. The life of hitting the road with Fozzy and being friends with Avenged Sevenfold has not slowed him down.
Right on. Well, Riley from Power Trip said that he was a fan, so apparently he knows a little bit about music and wrestling.
Yeah, he actually put out an album through Metal Blade recently. I think it's called Blood Division. He did this album with a bunch of like metal musicians putting out covers, so he genuinely likes metal. He's like a big fan of like Saxon. I know he really likes them, so
okay,
he knows his stuff for the most part. I think they're having a music... musical interlude as well, and Pitbull's going to be there.
Dale!
And Flo Rida.
I don't know the difference between those two guys. I would love to see them both on stage at the same time to verify it is, in fact, two different people.
I don't think Pitbull and Flo Rida are Batman and Bruce Wayne.
You say that. They could very well be. Right on, man. We should probably get into this interview.
Yeah, let's do it. We'll be right back.
Today we're joined by a very special guest. With us is Nathan Gray of Boy Sets Fire and the Nathan Gray Collective. Nathan, how's it going today?
It's going well. How are you?
Doing well, man. Can't complain. I wanted to ask you, the Nathan Gray Collective is a collective involving you, of course, and who else?
Strangely enough, yeah. It's a, well, it all started out as what was going to be my solo project, hence it was called just Nathan Gray for a little while. But as we moved into it, it's my good friend Daniel Smith, who, you know, it started out with me just sort of bringing him songs and him sort of turning them into what I wanted. And then it went from there to he started writing songs. We started collaborating together and all that. And then also we were using people outside of that, like Rebecca, who did the pianos and some of the backup vocals, and other Dan that played drums on the album and all that. So it just made sense to add the collective thing aspect to it, because, you know, it's always going to be Dan and I writing and, you know, really backing this thing, but we're also always going to have people contributing to it who are really part of the process also. And then if you extend beyond that, you know, we did this whole crowdfunding thing, all this stuff, and when you really think about it, a band is never isolated to itself, you know. So we really wanted to bring in people. You know, you're going to have fans, and then you're going to have those super fans that are part of your street team to an extent, that are part of your, like, they're your ride or die fans, you know. And those people to us are part of this collective. They're part of what we do, and they're folks that we are always going to have a great deal of respect for. So, you know, without that, you know, without respect for your fans and without respect for those that are part of what you do and pay you money to do it, you're nothing. So, hence the collective.
To bring up that what you were mentioning, crowdfunding, you launched a campaign through Pledge Music, and you had a really successful experience with that, hitting 204% of your goal.
Yes.
What made you decide to go that route? I mean, obviously that was the right move.
Well, yeah. Apparently it worked out very well. It honestly came out of just probably something we'll never do again, because I was unaware of how much work it is to put out your own shit. But you know, it was funny because we were like, you know, we're sick of other people making our money to put things out, and then doing this we realized, oh, that's why they take all your money, because they do all the shit work, it sucks. Like, so we you know, we just really wanted to do it ourselves. And I'll be honest, like with the album Until the Darkness Takes Us being about its self-empowerment and all of those things, I mean, it just made sense, you know, to really make it self-motivated process. So not only that, but also when we looked into this whole crowdfunding situation, we really wanted to find a company that we could work with that wasn't just one of those, like, for lack of a better way of saying it, companies that help you beg.
Right.
You know, we really weren't interested in that. We wanted to literally do this ourselves and do it in a way that people who bought into this were actually getting something out of it. It wasn't just like, hey, you gave us a bunch of money, here's some music, I guess. You know, it's, you know, hey, pay for all our shit because we suck. It was more of a, hey, let's do this together and we'll get you some great shit. And, you know, try to make it worth it for people to pay into it and be part of it, as opposed to just feeling like they're like helping some homeless guy down the street, you know? So, yeah, I mean, that was the whole thing behind it, was just wanting to do it ourselves, but knowing damn well that we did not have the capital up front to do it. and we just needed people to help us get it started. And, you know, we made, I would have to say, almost less than $0 on this. Even with the 200 over, it all goes, I mean, shipping costs are insane. And not only that, but like I said, we offered a lot of really cool bundles to people that used up all the money, which I'm stoked on. You know, I'm not living off of this. I have a job. So this is our art. And so it was sort of cool to like just break even on it and like give people really cool shit, you know?
Were you having to ship everything yourself too?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
God, that's the fucking worst. That is the fucking worst.
we actually, that's why we ended up with the vinyl. We did a double vinyl, which, number one, double vinyl, holy shit, is that expensive.
Wow.
But we ended up having End Hits Records in Germany do it, which is a label that Boy Sets Fire actually got started, but our friend Oisey runs it. And I actually asked him to release the vinyl because we couldn't afford it. Even with the crowdfunding, we couldn't afford it. I think he actually has to probably sell about 300 of the 500 he printed just to break even.
Jesus.
So, you know, so it's this is definitely a labor of love, you know.
One of the perks that you're offering with Pledge Music was to record acoustic cover songs of fans' choices. Did anyone take you up on that?
No, not at all. And we're sort of stoked they didn't. Because we had no idea what was going to happen with that. It was like, well, let's put it out there. Maybe it'll be cool. And it was like, the second we put it out, I was like, oh, no. What if they give us something terrible? It's like, you know, it was like we sort of had to put some disclaimers in there because I know my friends. And I was thinking, you know what? I know enough people that would really like to fuck with me on this. Like, it would be well worth the money to go, hey, play this song, motherfucker. You know, like, just to be funny. And so we threw in a couple disclaimers for that, and nobody went for it anyway, and that's fine. So.
So no Pour Some Sugar on Me covers are going to find their way on you.
That would have been the best of what could have happened with that.
I was immediately thinking, like, Peaches, Fuck the Pain Away, or just something horrible EDM song.
That would have been fun.
Crazy Town.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Oh, guaranteed there'd be, like, it would have gotten awful. I won't even go into what I could imagine could happen. But...
Along with Until the Darkness Takes Us, you also wrote a book under the same name. What kind of convinced you to write a book?
Well, it all came from, you know, once we started getting this album together and everything, and we came up with sort of the concept of where it was going, I realized that the concept of the album, to me at least, was my life. It was a journey. And as I was thinking about it, I was like, you know, I don't want to be too heavy handed with it. I don't want to, especially with music, you don't want to do that to where it's like, okay, this album is about this and not only this. It makes it hard for people to connect. You know, I want people with the album to be able to find their own story and what we do. But at the same time, I needed to tell my story from that. So that's where the book came in. I was like, okay. And, you know, if you read the book, you'll see that each chapter is each song, you know. And that was just my way of saying, hey, here's my version of what I'm singing about. What's yours? You know?
Interesting. Very cool. Is it going to be, like, available on tour dates or in your store?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is available now through Amazon, actually, funny enough. Good. And so you can get it there, or you can go to NathanGrayCollective.com and buy it through there. And it will also be on every tour date we feasibly do. So,
very cool. The music for Nathan Gray Collective can kind of be described like post-gothic, maybe post-industrial, sort of neo-folk, which is a little bit of a shift from what you've done in the past.
And oh, yeah.
How did that come about?
Funny enough, it came about through... So For many, many years, I have been wanting to do a solo thing. And it never really happened because, honestly, I wussed out several times. So the casting out when I did that, that had started with just me playing acoustic songs and turned into a band because I wussed out. Then I got, I was doing a band called I Am Heresy. And I started getting into a lot of like sort of the darker neo-folk type of stuff. And a lot of that can be seen on sort of the in-between songs on the I Am Heresy album, which is all like crazy metal screaming stuff that gave me a headache. So I had to stop doing that. No, it was a time and the place, and I was just, okay, I need to move on and sort of get more involved in what I really want to do, which was that style. Now, the issue with neo-folk stuff is that it's fucking boring. And that's just honest. Like, it's tedious, it's boring, it's monotonous, and just sort of like, it just sounds like somebody moaning. It's awful. But I enjoy it. But if I'm going to do sort of my version of it, you know what I mean, and sort of what inspires me from it, I don't want to just do what everybody else does. And seeing as, you know, I guess I didn't want to do, number one, I didn't want to do what every punk hardcore dude gone solo does, which is write a country album.
Are you calling out Chuck Reagan right now?
Hell no. Actually, I will be very specific in saying that Chuck Reagan and Tim Berry did it. You're not allowed to. They are sincere country boys that did it right. That's exactly who they are. They did it because that's who they are. Tim Berry, Chuck Reagan, done. If you are from Brooklyn with a country twang out of nowhere singing about your dog in the shed and it shut up.
Like, you're on notice, Aaron Lewis.
Oh.
I'm just saying. So no. And who the fuck calls out Chuck Reagan? Come on, dude. I got pregnant just standing near him. He's so manly.
Like, I'm a huge fan of hot water music. Just joking.
Yeah. You better be. He'll come to your house. He's like the hardcore Chuck Norris. But anyway, point being, like I was saying, Chuck Reagan, Tim Berry, they did it. Done. End of story. Past that, let's get some originality, people. You know? So I was thinking, you know, where do I go? So I wanted to incorporate this sort of darker feel to it. And I brought that to Dan because he was the sole and lone industrial kid hanging out with a bunch of punk kids. Because I was thinking, okay, well, a lot of that dark neo-folk stuff comes out, honestly, it came out of the industrial scene. So I was like, you know, maybe he'll understand this a little bit and be able to guide me through this. And he was just as bored as anyone would have been with what I gave him. And, you know, he's like, seriously, are all these songs just soaked in reverb and somebody mumbling in the background? So I was like, yeah, they are. Okay. So it was like, all right, well, let's work with it a little bit, you know, and he worked with me and we wrote our first few songs and they, you know, it just clicked. And from there we started writing this new album and, well, you hear where that is, you know, and it's grown into our own sort of thing that's honestly sort of a mishmash hodgepodge of many styles, you know, this sort of industrial rock goth musical weirdness that for some reason works together and I don't think anyone understands why. So which I love. I think that that's where you find really good music, is where you find sort of an original idea that's obviously based in other things, because nothing is really original, but based on other things that you go, I don't know. I don't know why this makes sense, but it does. So that's our music.
What's the fan reaction been like?
It's been great. It's been awesome. What I really enjoy is I think maybe for the most part we got two bad reviews, and they both look like assholes now because everybody else has given us great reviews.
It's the sweetest revenge.
Suck it, dicks. So it's been awesome. And what's great is my favorite thing about this is that we've gotten a lot of really good reviews from, like, metal outlets, which thrills me because obviously there's not a touch of metal on that goddamn album, you know? But for some reason, I think that it's just sort of that darker feel that really attracts people, that they're like, oh, okay, I can get down with this. All right. Because, I mean, you can't just be blasted out with metal all goddamn day. So it's sort of like something that people who are into metal and sort of certain tones and chords and things like that are like, oh, I get this. All right. So it's been great. It's sort of run the gamut of, for our fans and for reviewers and critics and stuff, of people just going, like just, they just get it. And it's awesome. It's been really cool to see.
One of the things I've always loved about Boy Sits Fire and really just about everything that you've worked on is that your lyrics are really honest and straightforward and really right to the point. Now that you have a band where your name is front and center, is it more difficult to remain that honest and to a greater extent be more vulnerable?
Until I wrote that book, now I have no escape. I really laid it out in the book, where I came from, what's happened in my life, why I am where I am now. And I did that on purpose because I really want to maintain that. There are things, here's the thing, like you said, and not to like toot my own horn or whatever, but I really honestly believe that the reason why Boy Sits Fire and why me in general, why I've had a great, you know, following or fan base or whatever, is because I'm very honest and I'm very out there and I'm very in touch with the people that support me. And that's just who I am. You know, it's not a put on, it's not a, you know, whatever. It's just, I really enjoy music. I really enjoy what I do. And if one person is like, fuck yeah, dude, I get that. I love it. I'm like, well, let's be friends, you know, because that's awesome, you know? And especially like, you know, and it's really affected how I perform anymore, how I act when I'm on tour, shit like that. And I've said in a couple of interviews, like when I was in my 20s and just going out on the road and partying every night and shit like that, getting drunk, losing my voice like an asshole. There came a point where I went, huh, okay. Well, so that, you know, at that point, like 100 kids are coming out to this show, totally psyched to see me do what I do. And I was too busy getting drunk and acting like a dickhead last night. And now I can't do what they just gave me money to do, you know? And you start thinking about that, it's like, oh, what an inconsiderate dick move that is. Like, so now when I'm on tour, I take very good care of myself. I drink water. I go to bed early. I know it's a complete not rock star move, but honestly, fuck rock stars. That's so stupid. Like, it's ridiculous to have that little respect for the people that are paying for your fucking dinner. So I always want to be present and in the moment. I always want to be giving 110%, whatever the fuck that means, you know, and sharing a ritual with the people who are there with me to experience it.
How does you've been very outspoken about your Satanist beliefs and your place within the Church of Satan in the past. How does that philosophy work with what you were just saying, basically putting aside personal hedonism for the sake of your audience?
Right. Very well, because it's Satanism in and of itself is not just about that. It's not just about indulging to indulge. Does it make you happy? You know, are you really getting personal fulfillment out of what you're doing? And I had to answer no, it wasn't. Because when I'm not giving a proper performance and I'm not in touch with my fans, I'm not happy, you know? So I had to curtail certain things in order to be happy in the end. And that's very important to realize about, you know, satanic philosophy, things like that, as far as in the spectrum of what I believe, is that it's not just about doing whatever you want and, you know, being hedonistic and indulgent in everything you do. It's honestly about really getting in touch with oneself and really taking self-deification seriously. Because at the end of the day, we don't believe, well, I'll say I don't believe, because I mean, fuck, everybody's got sort of their own take on stuff. Even people who are within the same organization as I, people have their own beliefs, and I don't want to crowd it under this one little tenet. But to me, there is no afterlife. There is no God. There is no, and I say that because I can't reasonably prove it, you know? So I have to assume that that's just how it is. So at the end of the day, I am my own God. I am the end all be all of what I do with my life. Now, I can be destructive to myself and to those around me, or I can make this time that I have on earth productive, happy, joyful, you know, and that's what I choose. I choose to be positive. I choose to be full of life, because at the end of the day, when the lights go out, I don't want to have wasted a second of what I'm doing. I catch myself a lot of times. It's like, why the fuck am I wasting my time right now? Get out there, do something. You're going to die soon. Everyone is, you know? I know that sounds crazy because, you know, you don't want to think of it that way, but in the whole spectrum of time, our lives are so small. You know, it's a flash in the pan. So what are you doing with that time? And to me, that's really what satanic philosophy or whatever is about. It's about realizing that time is finite, that you are mortal. And if you don't make the most of the time you have here, you're wasting it.
See, when you describe your ideology, it's very rational. And, you know, it makes sense. At the same time, there's that scary tag of Satan associated. Do your coworkers know that you're a Satanist? Because I have a hard enough time talking to mine about running a metal blog.
No, they don't. And if they did, I may even deny it to them, because it's pointless. Satanism isn't like any other religion. It's not something, I mean, what would I be saving anyone from? You know, what would I be damning them to? It's for yourself.
You could save someone from an hour of church every Sunday, which I will tell you.
Oh, sure, but you know what? At the end of the day, fuck them. That's their problem. I'm not going. Sorry about your luck, dumbass. You know, not my fault you wasted your time. But, you know, in seriousness, though, it's if anyone ever proselytizes or preaches to you about Satanism, they are not. It's that's not what it's about, and it never will be. I actually sort of tend to now these days sort of just let it fade into the background, because at the end of the day, it's not for everyone else. It's for me, you know. It's a personal belief system, a personal philosophy that drives me. Now, when I put out music and I try to speak to people of this philosophy, a lot of times now, I'll leave the whole Satan-y stuff out of it, because that doesn't speak to everyone. And there's no point to, because I don't need to convert anybody. I don't need their money. I don't need their souls. I don't care, you know? So to me, this is what drives me. What can I do to drive others? Because I care about that. I honestly care to get other people sort of shaken out of their complacency and realize that, you know, it's actually why when we play, I play shows, I use skulls and stuff like that and imagery. It's not just to be morbid and morose and like Satan-y and black metal and dumb shit like that. It's a reminder. It's a reminder of death. It's a reminder of our mortality. I have skulls all over the house. I'm a big fan of skulls because growing up, I was terrified of death. I was horrified of dying. And once I guess I was rebirthed in the knowledge that I'm mortal and that all this will go away at some point, it's been a real inspiration for me to look at that and go, I will be that soon. And if I don't remember that, I will waste time in what I have. So I need to choose my words wisely. I need to choose what I spend my time on wisely and make sure that it is to the benefit of me and those I care about.
That makes perfect sense to me. Jordan, did you want to step in?
Yeah. So one of the reasons why we asked you on the show is because we're coming up on the 14th anniversary of Boy Says Fire's album, Tomorrow Come Today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So one of my favorite albums. It was, I think, possibly the only album I ever bought on the day it came out.
And nice.
The album's obviously very political. Songs like Release the Dogs, Eviction Article, and yes, a lot of the heavy criticism is pointed towards the Bush administration and the Iraq War. Do you feel the album still speaks to our current political climate we're all going through right now?
You know what's really funny? That album was actually written partially in the Clinton administration.
That's what I figured.
Yeah. So it defies boundaries of that kind of thing. So I hope that it gives a... I guess what I would call a third side perspective, you know, on things, which is a phrase I coined from, you know, the Anton LaVey. But it's a different perspective on things that there isn't just one or another side. Mm. They're all trying to fuck you, you know? So, but anyway, back to that though. Yeah, it was a very political album on purpose. We set out that we were like, if we're going to write an album that's going to be put out on Wind Up Records and it's going to be like sort of a, you know, mainstream release, let's really go for it. Let's get crazy. Because honestly, before that and ever since then, Boy Sets Fire, although we've been called and we've even named ourselves a political band, if you really listen to the songs, we're not really that crazy political, except for that album. Like we definitely delve into politics, but a lot of it is very personal based, and it sort of goes in and out of that. Now that album though was just straight up politics, and we did it on purpose because it's like, well, it's a mainstream release. Let's see what we can do, you know.
You actually, for that album, you joined Wind Up Records, and before that, for After the Eulogy, you were on Victory Records. Mm-hmm. And as the years go by, it kind of turns out that Victory seems to have a poor relationship with a lot of bands that have been on their roster. Did something happen with you guys in Victory?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but, you know, I it's funny. I sort of wrote about this in my book, was that I don't feel bad for any of the bands that got fucked over by Victory. And I don't feel bad for us for dealing with the same shit, because you sign the contract at the end of the day. You deal with what you think you deserve. And at that point, we fortunately, probably one of the only bands on Victory Records that signed a one-off deal and they let us. We signed a one-off deal. And once they realized that they had allowed us to do that, they wouldn't let us do a video, they wouldn't give us any money, they wouldn't, you know, it went into that. But honestly, at the end of the day, we fucking won, because that's the only album they got out of us. We were not beholden to, you know, seven more albums like a lot of bands got themselves into. But, you know, like I said, you know, I've heard a lot of bitching about it, and I don't like Victor. I don't think Tony's a dick. Fuck him. But you let that dick fuck you. You know? So sorry, but that's it at the end of the day. And any mistakes I've made throughout my life and this band has made, we take full responsibility for any of that. If we made poor choices, we made poor choices. And any band that doesn't cop to that are idiots. Like, don't blame other people. Don't blame a label. Don't blame this, that, or the other thing. Take control of your life and do something about it.
You've had a really long career and a successful one at that. What would you say has been the highlight of it for you?
This, without a doubt. I just released an album that says my name on it. That's crazy. You know, after 20 plus years of playing in bands, and that's not even mentioning like little bands I did before that, you know, that never got off the ground. I have finally found whatever in me to release something that literally says my name on the cover, which maybe years ago I might have been even ashamed to do, you know, just out of this sort of false humility, you know. It has been a very long life and mostly fulfilling, but there were a lot of turmoils and trials in the beginning, which I talk about in my book. And to be at this place now where I am, so self-assured and so in control of my own destiny and my own life, it's a personal miracle that I got to this place. And if I'm able to push that farther and to inspire others to do the same, all the better. So this is the pinnacle of all I've done, all I've been through, and all I've decided to become.
So the runner up for that would be appearing on the Ben Affleck Daredevil soundtrack, right?
I mean, that would easily be my highlight. Come on.
Well, I'll get into that a little bit as a comic book nerd. There are two comic book characters that I'm, once again, if you read the book, two comic book characters that I'm most related to. And there's more, but I'll pick out my two favorites, which were Batman and Daredevil. My two favorites. DC and Marvel, they were sort of the same character in different worlds, and to me. And when we were asked to do that, I nearly shit myself. Like, I was just, I still have a somewhere a gold album from that, that, you know, obviously not our doing, but there were a lot of bigger artists on there, so it went gold. But man, was that movie a disappointment. I am so glad that they did the TV version of it recently. That just kicked ass and was amazing and dark and grimy and exactly what a Daredevil series should be. 'Cause that movie was comic toiletry. It was awful. Like, it took the comic book and played it so safe and close to it, and like, it was just douchey. It's just like, oh, come on, guys. Like,
I feel like Affleck has a tendency to do that no matter what he's in.
He has a tendency to do some shit out, yeah. Which, you know, I don't know the guy. Maybe he's a great dude, but everything he fucking touches turns to shit. So, but anyway, and then he went and fucked with Batman. Anyway, I'm not going to get into this, damn it. the comic book nerd is raging inside me. But yeah, so that was, you know, it was weird. It's like sort of this happy but not feeling of like, oh, it's associated with something with Daredevil, but it's sort of the bad one. Like, so I'd rather a song be on like the Netflix series or something, like on the Daredevil or Gotham or something, you know?
Yeah.
It seems like they do it better, like on TV now. It's turned.
TV is the new movies.
I'm not super into superheroes or anything, but Cage has been pretty badass, so I might check out the Daredevil series based on that alone.
Yes, definitely. It's awesome. It's my Gotham and that are my favorites, which, you know, I mean, they're my favorite superheroes, but Daredevil, just awesome. Really good. And the fight sequences are like, what the fuck? How long did they have to choreograph that? That's amazing.
Boyce's Fire never really dies. You just kind of go to sleep for a while.
Right. It's true.
And I've been lucky enough to catch you guys a number of times, whether it's in the old Club Chrome days back in New Jersey seeing you in Providence a couple years ago when you did your little short reunion run. Any future plans to hit the road again?
No. it's going to be a very few and far between type of thing, and there's no plans as of now, and who knows if there will be, you know, that there might be, but there might not, and we just don't, it's just not a big concern on our plates right now. We all have other things to do, and we're all pushing other agendas and things that we would like to do with our lives, and so I don't know. Well, nothing set right now.
Is a handful of redemption still all we need, or do we need something more?
Well, here's the thing. We do, but again, you know, in simple terms, what that song is speaking to the fact that sometimes all someone needs is for you not to suck, you know? and that's really the point of that song, is that a lot of times we don't understand how our actions affect others. And once we start understanding that, and we start actually caring about how we affect others and how we can make our lives better through helping others, because honestly, let's think about it. Altruism is greedy at the end of the day, because when you are creating an altruistic act, when you are helping others, it makes you feel good. It does good things for you. And not only that, but when you can make other people happy, happy people don't fuck with you. Happy people don't make other people miserable. Happy people let other people be happy. And that's really important to focus on, I think, and in modern society now, with all that's going on, with Trump and all that bullshit. Happy people don't fuck with people. Happy people don't think that they have the right to tell gays and lesbians and transsexual people what the fuck to do. Happy people don't tell women what they should do with their bodies, because they're too busy being happy with their fucking selves and minding their own goddamn business.
Seems like happy
people. Yeah, happy people aren't miserable on Twitter all goddamn day talking about, the media doesn't like me. Shut the fuck up. Get off Twitter. You're the president. Like, oh, God, this is honestly the most embarrassed I've ever been, and I went through George Bush, you know, senior and junior.
He really does seem like a Mensa fucking scholar compared to what we currently have.
It's vile. It's absolutely vile, and it's gotten to the point where I can handle if someone voted for Trump, but you better have a good deal of buyer's remorse right now. If you don't, get the fuck out of my face. If you're still buying this shit and you're okay with this shit, fuck you. I'm done with it. And I've never been at that point with a president. Even with George W., when people were still like, I still support him. He's the president. All right, well, whatever, man. You know, cool. You know, we'll get through it. No problem. But this shit, This is a whole different beast, a whole new animal that we haven't dealt with yet. And it's absolutely vile. I'm not a fan, not a fan.
The both of us are going to agree with you wholeheartedly on that.
Absolutely.
I can't speak for the listeners.
Motherfucker, I'm just kidding.
I can't speak for the listeners. They'll of course comment if they're pissed about this, because you know.
But they can be pissed all they want. You know what? Do your fucking libtard fake news bullshit. I don't give a fuck about you. I don't. At this point, if you still support that motherfucker, fucking shut your mouth. I don't give a shit about you. You're a piece of shit. You don't care about me. I don't care about you. Move on with your fucking day, you fucking Twitter happy little shithead.
You know, if you don't print care. That exactly on a t-shirt, I will buy two of them.
Oh, yeah,
I will
definitely.
Totally do it. Why don't you get on Facebook and fucking complain about me, you fucking prick? Nobody cares.
That's the new title of your next book.
There you go. You know, after all this bullshit with these asshole alt-right fucking dicks calling everybody snowflakes and talking about safe spaces, oh, where you at now, motherfucker? Now you're the snowflake. Now you need a safe space. Now you're like, oh, everybody's picking on me. Fuck you. Get your fucking balls out and get back to living, fucking asshole. Done with these people.
Love it. Until the Darkness Takes Us, you can pick it up right now on Bandcamp or Amazon, yeah. Or also pick up the book on Amazon. You've got a number of dates coming through Europe next month, so European listeners, go check that out.
And as far as the book, if you go through Amazon, that's the best way to do it, because what I have is it's a they print it as you buy it type of situation. So it's not like they print it up a bunch and I'm going to lose money if you don't buy it. It's just, you know, but so it's a great deal. It's a cool. I would actually suggest to anybody writing a book or anything to go through that through Amazon and do it that way, because it just
definitely
going to
do that for my smut novels.
Awesome. You should. Absolutely. I would love to read your smut novel.
So would the authorities.
This has been a really fun experience talking with you. Thank you so much for doing
absolutely.
This with us.
Thank you.
That's the show for this week. What do you think we learned?
I think we learned that working on the Daredevil soundtrack or being included on it pays off, as Nathan got a gold record for it, despite the movie being absolutely terrible. And I think we also learned that you can write a book and it's easily to put on Amazon.
Yeah, and I'm going to start doing that like immediately. I would like to thank Nathan for joining us today. I'd like to thank everybody listening right now for listening. You did it. Thanks, champ. You make it worthwhile for doing this. If you have made it to this point, you know, you've traversed the entire episode, I would like to ask that you do something for me. I don't ask a whole lot of you, just that you read every post that I write, listen to every radio show that I do, buy my t-shirts, and share the word of the toilet everywhere. So this is something that's brand new. I would like you to rate and review us on iTunes, and don't forget to subscribe as well. If you do these things and provide me proof, I'll do something real nice for you, something real nice. What else you got for us, 365?
Make sure to follow us on Twitter, at Toilet of Hell, at 365 Days of Horror, and at Joe Thrashenkill. Make sure you like us on Facebook and join the Facebook group as well.
Do all of those things in that order, and I'll send you something cool in the mail if you do that and provide proof. Thank you. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Bye.
What would become of your legacy? Starving masses full of your holy disease. Give up for the kingdom yet unseen. Give up your here and now for what may never be. You'll never see. Sins of the Father, worked up a God that made it so. We are the children you led.
Listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.